Baruch Maboim, we are now beginning our Monday night shir. It's usually a parsha shir in the following parsha. This following parsha will be parsha Shmini. I am not going to be focusing most of my shir on the parsha. I will mention something towards the end of the shir that would connect tonight's talk to parsha Shmini. But I would very much like to focus on the current events that's happening to us about Pesach and its relevance and what it means to us today as we are living through a pandemic, a very unusual situation. We, at the moment, before I go further, I want to dedicate tonight's shir to my mother, Aleha Shalom, Zeichen Nishmas Imi Meirasi Shoshana Vita Bas Rabbi Yisrael Halevi. She was Nifter 29 years ago on Shvi Shal Pesach. I am going to be a mitzvah making a siyum on Mishnayis Mayed, but will not be able to say a Kaddish for her because I'm not going to be able to be at a minyan. However, this should be a schus that my shir tonight will be in memory of her, and it should be a schus to her neshama.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
I know that we are all in a very troubled state. We are viewing this world that we're living in a state of upheaval. The secular world, the Torah world, everybody's in a state of upheaval. Thousands of people are contracting the disease, this corona disease. Many people already have died because of it. I just heard that in New York, my sister's mother-in-law was Nifter, and there were 16 Levias in that day in the cemetery because of the corona disease. And it's hard to believe what's happening. The world is really in a state of upheaval. We're all in a state of lockdown. We really don't know what's really going to be happening. The financial world is crumbling, and there is really no clear answer from the medical world how we're going to deal with this problem. So there are messages being sent. What are the messages? How can we interpret them? And as I said a week ago, we are obligated to think and to ask ourselves, maybe, perhaps it's this, maybe it's that, maybe it's something else, but we are obligated to ask ourselves, why is this happening? There's definitely a question that needs an answer. There are definitely messages being sent, and we're not sure what they are. We are obligated to ask, what is it coming for? As I said to our honored audience a week ago, we say Hashem Baganu Gazanu. We mention about being stiff-necked, right? Kashinu Eirev, that we were stiff-necked, not wanting to see. What is the thing that Hashem wants us to see? Hashem wants us to see there's a Mida connected Mida. So how do we attach this all? I give a marshal, you know, if a person has a toothache, right, it's not a very pleasant experience. But what do? We rush to the doctor, to the dentist, and we have him fill in the cavity, and then the toothache is gone. What the tooth is really speaking to us is saying, please save me. A toothache is not a very comfortable experience. But the toothache is a message from the tooth telling us, you know, there's a danger happening to this tooth. You have to do something about it, otherwise you're going to lose me. That's what the tooth is saying. There is something happening, and we are obligated to look around and explore what's going on over here. We have to know one more thing before we go further. We have to know, we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is our Father in heaven, Avinu Avrahamon. He wants our attention. but he's a loving father. Everything that Hashem does is for the best. We say in davening in the morning, Hashem does good. Everything is good. So when we're looking out there in this world of ours, and people are getting ill, and people are dying, it's very, very hard to say that's Tov. But we are obligated to know that Hashem has a reason and that there is Tov there. But how do we interpret that? The first thing we have to realize is that Hashem loves us all. Hashem wants us to listen to Him. Hashem is trying to send us a message, but we don't know exactly what is the message. So I gave the matter some thought, and I would like to share my personal thoughts that might be true, and it might be an eye-opener to what's really happening right now. There is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. In Perek Aleph, the last Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Al Shloisha Devarim Ha'olam Kayim. The world exists on three things. Al Ha'emes, on truth, Va'al Ha'din, and on judgment, Va'al Ha'shalom, and on peace. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Emes U'mishpat Shalom Shiftu B'Sharechem. Emes, honesty, and the judgment of peace you shall judge in your gateways. We are experiencing right now, the world is crumbling. You see, it says on three things the world is kayim. Kayim means exists. We did learn the first, in the beginning of the Mishnah, al shalosh dvarim ha'olam oimed, are three things the world stands. That's the Mishnah almost at the beginning of the perek, Shimon Hatzadik Hayom Mishyarei Knesses Agdayla Hu Haya Omer Al Shalosh Devarim Ha'olam Oimed. On three things the world stands: Al Torah, Al Avodah, Al Gemilas Chasadim. I think we have seen a tremendous amount of Torah, a tremendous amount of davening, and a tremendous amount of Gemilas Chasadim in this generation. I think this could be considered outstanding in every one of the areas. In Torah, you know, so many yeshivas are full of people learning day and night. Avodah, in davening, all different kinds of groups davening to Hashem. Gemilas Chasadim. It's unbelievable how much chesed is being done in this world, in our generation. But the Mishnah says, that's what keeps the world in existence. But what keeps the world kayam, that it shouldn't crumble? The Mishnah says, Al Emes, Val Adin, Val HaShalom. On these strings. That even though there's so much Torah in the world, and so much davening avodah, and so much gemilat chasadim, but the Torah will help the world exist, but it will not keep the world if the world does not have MS, Din, and Shalom, then the world will crumble. And what we're witnessing with our own eyes right now, that we're living in a world in upheaval, in every aspect of social life out there in the world, in the moral world, in the immoral world, what's happening out there, and the way the financial world is being dealt with, and the fact that honesty is not what it should be, and that there is corruption in the legal system, in the court system, there is corruption everywhere. If that's what we see, then what we're really looking at, if we look at it with such critical eyes, then we're looking at the world falling apart in pieces. So when we're looking at the coronavirus, you're really looking at the symptom, not the real disease. The real disease is that the world has fallen to pieces. Now, let me explain a little further. I was explained, I mentioned this a week ago, I'm going to repeat it, that the corona disease is a disease that attacks the DNA molecules. The DNA molecule is our hard drive. That's what runs us. This is where our strength comes, and this is where our thinking is controlled, and everything that comes from the DNA. This is our hard drive. And when our bodies notice that there's an alien germ coming to attack us, so the immune system comes very quickly to try to save the body from this intruder. Well, what you're really seeing is that, unfortunately, people are getting sick because the immune system can't handle it. People are starting to have trouble breathing. People have tremendous high fevers. People have other illnesses until finally they can't cope with the illness and they pass away. What is the real disease? We're looking at the molecule being destroyed, the hard drive. But we're really, Hashem is telling us, in my opinion, that what's really happening, society is being destroyed. The immune system, what's the immune system? MS, Din, Vishalom. That's the immune system. That will keep the world in existence. That's the immune system. But if there's no MS, Din, Vishalom, right, and society is falling apart, so what are you ending up with? You're ending up with a disaster. So when you're looking at the coronavirus, you're looking at the symptom of what the world is really going through, and therefore it's falling apart. On a spiritual level, Hashem is telling us the same with us. Now, if we are forced to be living in such a world of decadence, with so much immorality and there's so much theft and killing and disgrace to people and to society at large. This is all going on, so it's affecting us. So what is our immune system? I mentioned it last week. Our immune system is Emunah and Betachin. This is our immune system. So our Av HaRachman, our loving Father, is putting us in lockdown. Our loving Father wants us to be safe, and therefore he sees the dangers out there. The dangers out there of the decadence of the world is out of control, completely out of control. So our Father in heaven, who loves us to pieces, says, I've got to put the Jewish people in lockdown. How did he do that? He gave us this whole sickness called corona disease right before Pesach. And then we have been in lockdown Pesach night. The first time in recorded history ever since Yetzias Mitzrayim, about 3,500 years ago. Hashem, our loving Father, put us in lockdown. And what does he want us to do in lockdown? To read the Pesach Haggadah. Read our history. Read where we came from, who we are, and how great and noble we are. Know what we have. Know that we are so special. Know that Hashem took us out of slavery, and there was so much there to learn and to benefit. Yes, this disease has forced us all into lockdown. But you know what? Hashem wants us to do some thinking for our benefit. This is not for anyone else's benefit but B'nai Yisrael. He wants us to think things over. He wants us to sit at a Seder and to start sitting in front of a Seder plate and think of the symbols and think of everything what the Seder stands for and that we're going to read the Haggadah that talks about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, about how the Jewish people were saved by Hashem. They were tortured slaves for years and years, and now they were saved. Hashem wants us to go ahead and start reading about the greatness of Yetzias Mitzrayim. He wants us to get a booster shot in Emunah B'Tachin. He wants us to read about V'hi She'amda, and we sing V'hi She'amda. It was that, V'hi, and it was that faith in Hashem that stood by us in all generations. And that faith has to still remain with us today. He wants us to go ahead and discuss the Ten Makos, how the Ten Makos took place and the Jewish people were like sitting in cheder, were watching open miracles in front of their very eyes. And this was all part of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have to read the Dayenu and think of how each level of the Dayenu, how Hashem has helped us and gave us more and gave us more and gave us more and more, and we were there to witness it. We read Hallel and sing Hallel and Nishmas, praising Hashem of the enormous, enormous gift that He has given us constantly. We sing the Adir Hu, the Echad Miyadeya, Chag Gadya, all talking about the future and ultimately Mashiach. We are now living in Mashiach time. There is no question about that. Every sign that's mentioned in the Mishnayos, the end of Saita, has come true. We are living at the very, very, very end. And Hashem wants us to get ready for the very end. So He's giving us an opportunity. He's giving us an opportunity to be in lockdown so that we can think a little bit more about Hashem and about what He has given us. It's very interesting to note that at the very, very beginning of the Haggadah, there is the story of Maaseh Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Tarfon. They were sitting in Bnei Brak, and they were discussing Yetzias Mitzrayim a whole night until the students of the Talmidei Chachamim came in and says, "V'amu Rabbi Sein, Lahem Rabbi Seinu, Higia Zaman Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, Rabbis, it's time to daven Shema." The story is a little bit puzzling. We're talking about the greatest rabbis of society, the greatest rabbis of our people. Why in the world did they have to spend the whole night talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim? I can mention the word Yetzias Mitzrayim in 30 seconds. I can talk about the Jewish people being liberated in a minute. I can maybe mention the Ten Makos. It'll take me maybe a little bit more. What did it take them a whole night? Why did it take a whole night? Well, but there's something very important about what the story tells us, and it's something that we have to inculcate right now. The story, Rav Bravda, Zeicher Tzadik Gevurah, once explained the explanation of this part of the Haggadah. Rav Bravda explains that they spent the whole night trying to figure out what more can we come up with of the ways that we can thank Hashem for having been liberated from Mitzrayim. They spent the whole night figuring out ways that they can show Hakaras HaTov to Hashem for having been taken out of Mitzrayim. And it's an eye-opener in general how we have to look at the whole Haggadah. In order to be able to truly be able to have proper emunah and bitachin, we have to stop and think of what Hashem has given us already. We have to stop and think of the blessings that we do have, the health that we have, the families that we have, the parnasa that we have, the homes that we live in. We have to have hakaras hatov to the many, many things that we are enjoying life. The food that we eat and the enormous opportunities that we have being healthy instead of taking all this for granted. When we stop and think what we do have, then we really are preparing ourselves for Emunah B'Tachin. because emunah and betachin are really, they work hand in hand. Rabbi Ephraim Waxman Shlita has mentioned a beautiful concept when he explains emunah betachin. And he explains, emunah is theory, to believe in Hashem, but betachin is actually practicing the theory into daily life. So if we know that Hashem is around us, how do we institute it into practicing? How do we put it into practice? Well, the very first thing would be to work on anything that bothers us. Perhaps we should worry less about it. You see, when a person spends time worrying about his issues, his problems, he's really taking away the opportunity for Hashem giving him an opportunity to have emunah and bitachon. If you realize that Hashem is really in charge of everything, and everything that's happening to us has a reason, so then people would be less anxious and less frightened and less fearful in things that are happening to them. Bitachon is an emotional feeling that should come upon a person when he has enough emunah in Hashem. Bitachon is the barometer of how much emunah you have in Hashem. Emunah is belief. Bitachon is trust. You want to know how much emunah you have in Hashem? See how much bitachon you have. See how much you worry about certain problems, and then you know how much faith you have in Hashem. I once mentioned this in a shiur, I don't remember when, many months ago, that, you know, we call Hashem a rock, right? Tzor kol ha'olam, we say Tzor Yisrael, Kuma be'ezras Yisrael. Hashem is a rock, right? Ma'oi Tzor Yeshua si, we say that in Hanukkah, right? We use Hashem's name in a very strange way. We call Hashem Tzur. He's a rock, right? We step out of Shemona Esrei, Hashem Tzuri v'goyali, and then you say Oseh Shalom. What is this idea that Hashem is a rock? He's a rock. It's a strange adjective. What kind of an accolade is to call Hashem a rock? So I heard a beautiful explanation from the Meiri. He's a Rishon, and he says the following. If a person would stand by a rock and lean against the rock would hold him up, hold up his weight, as much as he's leaning against it. If he leans his full weight against the rock, then the rock will hold his full weight. If he leans partially, then the rock will only hold him up partially. Now, does the rock owe that person anything in return? Did the rock get any favor from the person that he has to go ahead and do him a favor to hold him up? No. But the nature of a rock is that the more you lean on it, the more it holds you up. So when you say, Tzu Yisrael, Kuma Be'ezas Yisrael, you're calling Hashem a rock, what you're really saying, I believe in you. You are my rock. You are the one who supports me because I'm putting my full trust in you. You are my trust. You are my rock. This is why we call Hashem a rock. Hashem doesn't owe us anything. But the more we lean on Hashem, the more Hashem supports us. The less we lean ourselves against Hashem, the less Hashem supports us. Is that a punishment? No, it's not a punishment at all. It's not a punishment at all. It's a natural occurrence. Just like a rock is going to hold up only the person who leans against it. If he leans up completely, he'll hold him completely. If he leans only partially, only hold him up partially. Hashem is the same way. He is called our rock. He wants us to treat him like a rock. He wants us to support, wants us to rely on him so he can support us. So here we are now in the state of lockdown. We're supposed to think about what we can do with our emunah betachin. who spent a whole night, a Seder night, talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mind you, we have a mitzvah every single day to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Remember Yetzias Mitzrayim is mentioned in our davening every day. It's mentioned in our Shema. It's mentioned in our benching. It's mentioned in our Kiddush. It's constantly mentioned. Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. We always mention because that is our real, real hope to survive any problem, any pandemic, or any tzara that ever occurred to Klal Yisrael. So, in my opinion, I can't tell you for sure because I'm not a Navi. We don't have Naviim today. We don't have Ruach HaKodesh today. But we're obligated to ask ourselves, what is the Midah Keneged Midah? Why is there this pandemic? Maybe if the pandemic is what this is destroying the person and the result is that the immune system is falling apart and can't handle it, maybe it's a message that our immune system is not strong enough to handle the decadence of the world, which is the real disease of the world. That's the real disease of the world. That's what's happening. And Hashem wants us to ask ourselves, don't we want to be better and don't we want to be protected from all this? Hashem is putting us in a state of lockdown so that we are being forced to learn more, to think more, and to trust more. I think that's today's message. I think it's very, very important. Having now said this on a more somber note, as I mentioned at the beginning, I was going to mention something about Parsha Shemini because really this is the Monday night Parsha Shir. And I like to say something about the Parsha. So about the Parsha, I would like to mention that there is a connection to what's happening. It is a sad, yet an appropriate connection to the Parsha, because Parsha Shemini does talk about the death of the two children of Aaron. Aaron's two children, Nadav and Avihu, passed away. And what was his reaction? What was Aaron HaKohen's reaction? Vayidoim Aaron. And Aaron was silent. There's something being said about our event today and our pandemic. It's so sad that so many people, so many wonderful people have passed away. Like I mentioned at the beginning, 16 Leviathans there were today, or the yesterday, or whenever it was. There were 16 Leviathans, and that was in one cemetery. Who knows what, when, and where? Many people are passing away. How can we react? And what should be our reaction? It's Maisa Hashkacha that this coming Parsha is Parsha Shemini. And Aaron HaKohen is telling us how to react. Vayidem Aaron. Aaron kept quiet. We have to be silent. And we have to think to ourselves that Hashem has a master plan. It was extremely, extremely difficult for Aaron to be silent. Aaron was at the height of his simcha. He inaugurated the Mishkan. Aaron was waiting for this moment for all of his life to be able to work by the Mizbeach and be honored with such a unusual service in the Mishkan. And how did it end up with Aaron doing the service? He ended up losing his two children. It was like the worst nightmare Aaron could have possibly had. But what was his reaction? He was silent. Vayidem Aaron. We have to follow that pattern. We don't have answers to Hashem's ways, we know that he has a way. He has a very good way. And we have to accept whatever Hashem does as for being the best. We, therefore, should continue rejoicing on the rest of Pesach. We should be in our state of lockdown, whether it's going to be ending at Pesach, or although I'm very doubtful, it seems to be going right through the month of April and maybe in June and possibly July, and we'll be in a state of lockdown. If we will be in a state of lockdown, then maybe my ideas that I'm mentioning to you about Emunah B'Tochen is something that we should be working on. We could work on it. As I mentioned last week, could be the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the 13 Animamins. The 13 Animamins are our main principles of faith that will help us through all of our troubles. But we have to believe it, and we have to learn them, and we have to be able to internalize them. So maybe during the days of lockdown, we should spend some time working on Emunah B'Tochen. Let's study the Yud Gimel Midos. And like I mentioned last week, there are some very special speakers that can help you with Emunah B'Tochen. Rabbi Ephraim Waxman has wonderful lectures you can get on online. Or you have Rabbi Saferman. Rabbi Saferman has a whole score of lectures on CD, and they're absolutely amazing. And these are all things that you can use to help your Emunah B'Tochen. In conclusion, may we have a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. Let us all enjoy the rest of Pesach. Let us try to improve in our Emunah B'Tochen, and I am sure our Father in Heaven, who loves us to no end, will very shortly show us the light, and maybe we'll be zeicher to the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mehera v'yameinu, amen. Thank you for listening.
Amen.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.